everyone. This is Maura Sweeney, and welcome to episode 9 of the ABCs of Now. This is a special 26-part series that's designed with you in mind. We're going through the alphabet in reverse, from end to beginning, with each episode focusing on a letter with an accompanying word. In a sense, what we're doing is unraveling and undoing many of the elementary building blocks that we have constructed our lives individually and our larger societies and consciousness on. For those of you who are aware, we are going through a time of incredible change, and this series is designed specifically as in for you and universally as in for everybody around the world for this now time in which we're living. It's a shift from one era to another. And you know, when shifts happen, you can literally and figuratively feel them and see them and sense them. This is a time when old models are being shaken, foundations are being tested, hidden things are being revealed, and our inner world is experiencing the roller coaster ride of undulating and epic change. So if you haven't already done so, I hope that you, number one, download this episode, save it, plan to listen to it again and again and share it with friends, but more than that, that you would find this series on iTunes or any one of a number of podcast platforms. It goes under my name, Maura Sweeney, with the subtitle, Living Happy Inside Out. That alone, as a mantra, should give you an indicator as everything else I do, where I'm going with everything I do, with all the thoughts and all the ideas that come forth from me. It is so that you can truly find your inner peace, your happiness, your place of rest on the inside. And never is it more important than this time of now when we're going through the great shift. So if you're ready, let's step into episode 9, where we're going to look at the letter R and we're going to examine the word reckon. Reckon, R-E-C-K-O-N. Now, maybe you've said to yourself, I've never heard that word before. And it wouldn't be surprising, because when the word came to me about a week ago, I thought, that sounds like a really old word I haven't heard used in a long time. So as I normally do with these words, I'm going to give you a couple of dictionary meanings for reckon. To reckon is to count or to compute. It's to consider or regard. On an informal level, it's to think or assume, to make a calculation, to figure, to calculate or to rely on. To reckon with, as an expression, is to come to terms or settle accounts with. Interesting. So you could see something that appears to be mathematical, but it's more than just math. It's the whole idea of maybe looking at a series of dots or images or symbols and putting them together and seeing how they add up, or maybe not. Now, there's also the word reckoning. Reckoning. It's the act of counting or a computation. It's an itemized bill or a statement of a sum due. It's the settlement of a bill or an account. But these next ones coming up, I thought, were very curious and also a part of what the word reckon or reckoning means. Reckoning is the act or process of calculating the position of a ship, an aircraft, or the like, and the position so calculated. Now, we're going to talk about reckoning when it comes to a ship and figuring out what direction it's going to in a little bit. But let's also look at the etymology or the roots of this old word. When I looked it up, it does appear to go back to the year 1200, when in Old English, the word reckon meant to explain, to relate, to recount, to arrange in order. Now that was very interesting. In order. It means to ready, to go straight forward, to move in a straight line, to direct in a straight line, or to lead and rule. And for whatever reason, when I heard the word rule, what immediately came to mind for me was a ruler. We don't use them too often, but they have a straight edge and it does two things. Number one, it does keep you in a straight line. And number two, it computes. It's a measuring stick. So very interesting when you think of a reckoning. Well, there was one more expression that happened to come to me when I was looking at this word, and it just had arrived to me. And I was thinking about the old expression that said, so-and-so is in for a reckoning. And when I looked it up, what I found was this, the day of reckoning. Now, interestingly enough, this expression, the day of reckoning, actually has some biblical origins, but the way it's been described is the day in which something must be confronted or becomes unavoidable. Now, if you want to think about this era that we're all in collectively, it is a form of a day of reckoning. We're all about to go through, or we all are in the midst of change, a change from one era to another, from one epic period into another. And so when you want to think about a day of reckoning, it's when something has to be confronted, something has to be counted, something has to be looked upon, assessed, reevaluated, and it's an unavoidable time. Now, you may think about that and say, oh, Maura, I'm getting a little nervous because maybe I'm dealing with my own day of reckoning and maybe there's some things I haven't done and I haven't done well. Well, maybe so, but I want to give you another definition, which should also give you a certain amount of comfort in this so-called day of reckoning. Another place when I looked it up, it said, the day of reckoning is known as the time when one is called to account for one's actions, to pay one's debts, or, now this is the alternative, to fulfill one's promises or obligations. Now, I want you to hear this on another level. Has it ever occurred to you that within your heart, your soul, your spirit, that you actually came to this earth, took on a body, and you came to fulfill certain promises? But along the way, maybe you weren't paying attention, maybe you weren't reckoning, and your soul knows you got off the path, and you're very far away, maybe you're a little far away, maybe you're quite far away from your soul's desire to fulfill those promises and obligations that would really fulfill your soul, fulfill your reason for being here, fulfill your life. Do you see how reckoning can be looked upon in a number of ways? So consider that. Now, there were two impressions, pictures, visions, however you want to describe it, that came to mind over the past few days as I was preparing for this latest podcast. One you may think of as kind of metaphysical, and the second pretty normal, practical. And I want to give you both because they're both images of reckoning. The first is this. Have you ever been to a nautical museum? Or have you ever studied ancient maritime navigators? These were people that lived at sea, and they would travel through great distances sometimes where there was no land in sight. They would look to the stars, and they also used various mechanical instruments, very, very simple in nature, to make calculations or reckonings as to where they were and where they wanted to go. These calculations were very critical to arriving at an intended destination. And I want you to think about this. So these men, probably mostly men, but maybe there were several women back then who would do the same thing, they would study the positioning of the stars, and then they would use their mechanical calculator, or instrument, I would say, to literally reckon where they were, and then determine a straight path to where their intended destination was. And they were constantly doing this idea of the reckoning because they wanted to be sure they were staying on course. Now, if you remember, when I mentioned at the beginning of this series, we're actually undoing, unraveling, going backward in a sense, and maybe going back to that place called zero, the zero point, so that we can realign and renavigate in the direction that our souls want to take us, individually as well as maybe you could say our common or general human consciousness. Now, humanity as a whole has somewhat gotten off course, but in order to get to where we want to go, in order to get to the destination that we have intended, maybe the destination is greater peace. Maybe it's harmony. Maybe it's happiness. Maybe it's solving certain problems. We're going to need to do a certain amount of reckoning. We must reckon in order to alter our way so that we can get maybe not to where we've been going, which would be a place maybe we're not going to be happy with, but to the place our soul wants to go. So that, you might be saying, oh, Maura, that seems kind of metaphysical. It's sort of out there. But I believe at some level, people back then understood the concept, the meaning of literally calculating things in a proper alignment so they could get to where they wanted to go. Simple, yes, but I believe there was also a spiritual, metaphysical, maybe supernatural piece to it. And I invite you to just give that a little bit of an opportunity to germinate within you. Now, for those of you who enjoy maybe more basic examples, I have one for you. As I mentioned to you, that word reckon, when I first got it, I thought that's an old word. Typically, I remember growing up and I would listen to or watch, old Westerns on TV. And we would see people from out west, or maybe people that lived in the deep south, they would use that word, I reckon. And sometimes you'd think, maybe I think, but that was an expression that they would use. Well, this is one that came to mind, and I think you'll enjoy it. I was reminded of a 1960s sitcom called The Beverly Hillbillies. The program revolved around a family known as the Clampets. They were very, I would say, a backwood family from the American South that struck oil, but they were sort of referring to it in a sense as it was like striking gold back then. But they struck oil on their own small piece of property, and essentially what they did is they struck it rich, and as a result, they moved themselves to Beverly Hills, California. It was more of like small town people or backwood people moving into the big city. But more than that, the Beverly Hills of the 1960s was very posh, extremely wealthy. It was glittery, and it was a social bubble. That social bubble was as far away from where the Clampets came from as East was from West. So essentially, these people were so simple, but they found themselves in a brand new bubble of Beverly Hills where things like greed, avarice, corruption, social prominence, and social status were very present, but maybe often to the Clampets concealed because they were simple people and they didn't even understand others operated that way. Now, you can imagine how many social climbers, including their friendly banker who was a main part of that series, sought to subtly play upon the Clampett family ignorance and even their innocence to further their own financial gain. And members of the Clampett family were quirky, they were simple, They were uneducated, but they were very enduring. And at some level, they had a certain amount of common sense. And that's probably the opposing forces that played in that series was really good, and it got a lot of people to enjoy it. In fact, today, it's still in rerun status. Well, there was one figure from that particular sitcom that came to mind, and it was Jed Clampett. Jed Clampett was the senior male member of the family. He was Uncle Jed. He was quiet. He was content. He was a man of few words, and he could often be seen whittling away at his wood. It would be always a small piece of wood, and he would have a small knife, and it was probably a pastime he engaged in when he was living in the backwoods, but he brought it with him to Beverly Hills, and even though they were living in this mansion of a house, he would always be sitting somewhere, maybe standing in a corner someplace, and whittling away at his wood while so much was going on around him. In many ways, he would be the quiet man who would listen and casually observe rather than speak. He would just listen. He would just observe. And what would happen is that he would probably, through his casual observance, became aware of various schemes and devices that were playing out right in front of him, that had he been a talker, a busybody, somebody that had to be heard, he might have missed a lot of what was going on. But instead, there he'd be, this quiet old Jed Clampett, sitting down, relaxed, listening. And as all was playing around him, you'd often hear him say, "You know, I reckon." And when he would say, "I reckon," he would usually scratch the temple area of his head, the very place where he would be thinking. And often what would come out of Uncle Jed Clampett's mouth would be something quite wise. Now, I want you to know, Uncle Jed Clampett can be a picture of us individually, in the now, in the here. Can we learn? Can we be like a Jed Clampett? To slow down, to observe, and to observe without any, I would say, any overlay, any thoughts, any judgment, any preconceived notions. Because remember, he was a simple man. And just allow things to play out. Do you think that we could reckon? Do you think that we could put pieces together and say, "This is squared off, this works, and yet this does not"? That we could find ourselves on a straight ahead path where one piece adds to another and to another and to another, and we find ourselves on a straight path that makes sense, where our soul within us feels it's right, where there's a, let's say, a mixing, a gathering, a meeting of our awareness with our soul, and we come back to that place and say, "You know, I reckon we need to do such and such," or, "I reckon this has been done and we need to change it." That's a very simple but practical word picture for you to think about when you consider the letter R and the word reckon in this ABCs of now. Now, I want you to just consider this. I want you to download this episode, save it, however it is that you save things. And I also want you to share this with friends. You will find that every single episode in this series works individually, but they work together. And that each part together will help you reassess, reimagine, and undo a lot of things in your own life that your soul knows don't connect properly. Pieces of puzzles that don't work together. Discordant elements that are not properly lining up for you. Each time you listen, you'll get more awareness. You'll get more, I would say, more of a sense of peace. More of a reliance on the spirit within you, the soul within you. And I want to, this would not be complete unless I finish this up. There's something about this word reckoning. And specifically when I brought you to the picture of the old people on the ship, the maritime people who were looking to the stars, and they were using their instruments to make sure they were reckoning to where they wanted to go. I sense, and I do believe, that where we are right now, as we are undoing our thoughts, undoing our mindsets, undoing our belief systems, and going back, in a sense, to ground zero, a starting point of peace, of beginnings, that somehow, somewhere, we are going to redeem time. I'll say it again, somehow, somewhere, we are going to be redeeming time, and in so doing, we'll be able to move forward again, where time will be a good thing, and time will work in our favor, and every move we make will be made in good ways, in straight ways, in peaceful ways, in resolved ways, in ways that will make us happier than we are today. So wherever you are, I hope that you stay tuned and stay attuned to this series of the ABCs of Now, because we're going all the way back to the beginning. And when you get there, you're going to be quite happy that you took the journey. So until the next time, this has been Maura with Maura for You.